May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 986. Ho, poor, distressed, thirsty soul, the fountain is just by, whose waters run both full and free. Come, drink, and never die. Hymn 986.
From the most holy word of God, from Luke's Gospel and 19th chapter. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. But if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded the servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. Another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. When he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he hath said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? They said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and sought, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God, O to solemnize our hearts and minds now, we plead, that we might rightly approach unto thee, thou who art most holy. Ah, whether it is those petitions that go up from the pew, or one as we do it in this audible way and manner before the people. O Lord, do then solemnize our hearts and minds. Oh, may it be found even now as those beggars pour at mercy's door, lies such a wretch as I. Those that come up even to thy courts with us, sir, we would see Jesus. And all as we bow the knee before thee, with that broken heart and a contrite spirit, which thou wilt not despise. O Lord, we would thank thee that truly thou hast been mindful of us, for thou hast not cut us off as our sins deserve. And thou hast maintained unto us the very breath we breathe. And we're favoured once again to see this another Sabbath day. And we've been brought into thy court, this little corner of thy vineyard here. Lord, thou knowest the exercise and burden of soul. Thou knowest, O Lord, how we're each found in thy courts, but oh, what a mercy we're still upon praying ground. The door of mercy still stands open to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. And even this Sabbath morning, the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, we have no other plea. We have no other plea but thy precious blood, thy righteousness, the satisfied law, that which thou hast accomplished. Was it not so in the Garden of Gethsemane, upon the cross at Calvary and the empty tomb? All that which thou hast accomplished in our room, place and stead, there is a one, is a naught, ascended on high, that sitteth on the right hand of the Father, having conquered death, hell and the grave, gained the victory, and now sitteth there, interceding for his people with those groanings which cannot be uttered. But all that one to whom a poor sinner can go, Lord, thou knowest then how we're found in thy courts, may we be found in amongst those whom thou hast wrought upon. The Spirit has wrought upon their heart that good thing. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. One that waits to be gracious, and at the voice of thy cry he will answer thee. Lord, may we be found in those beggars poor, those that truly feel their need.
For, O Lord, we cannot say we've been without sin, even in the past moment of our life, let alone the past day, the past week. There's much that testifies against us. Oh, we can only speak for oneself in this, for we know our own heart. Sins that testify against us, thought, word and deed. Oh, may it please thee. Oh, wash us every whit and make us clean. Plunge us in that crimson ocean, all that which was opened in that day, when that cruel spear was thrust into thy side, and forthwith came the blood and the water. Ah, what a mercy it ever flows, that fountain, home for all sin and uncleanness. Ah, to cleanse us from the guilt and power of sin. O Lord, may we have that fresh application of that precious blood applied under the doorposts and lintels of our heart. O Lord, Thou knowest how the adversary soon points a finger, becomes the accuser of the brethren. But oh, a fresh sight by faith of that which Christ hath wrought. That fresh hearing by faith of thy dying words, it is finished. But oh, the precious blood, to know and feel once again its efficacy. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. But oh, it brings to our remembrance those years ago now when we were so burdened with sin in thy court one particular evening. No, Lord, thou knowest how this poor sinner had to cry. And oh, didst thou not speak unto this poor sinner even in this way? I've washed thee and made thee white in the blood of the Lamb. Thine own heart's blood. So, Lord, do hear some poor trembling sinner's cry, we plead. Lord, thou knowest, yes, perhaps the old adversary said, a day of grace is ended. You're too foul. But Lord, may it please thee. Oh, grant unto that one that's come in trembling again, oh, that they might hear thy voice saying, I am thy salvation. I bought thee with a price, thou art mine. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Perhaps one brought under that fresh condemnation. Lord, we often feel, do we not? That thou art the man, that thou art the woman. Perhaps thou art the child. And perhaps it is, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within. Oh, they long to hear that voice of peace and pardon. That fresh application. To be once again, to once again have the joy of thy salvation made known to them. Lord, we plead for them. Lord, thou knowest them where those beggars poor, those poor trembling sinners, those that have ventured even this day into thy courts with a need. Bowed down, with this burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. Lord, do then remember such, we plead. But, O Lord, as we realise this year hastens on, and so doth our lives, they hasten on. And truly, our days are as a passing shadow, so it fleeth away. Lord, thou knowest, perhaps those still yet dead, unconcerned. O Lord, if it could please even this day, quicken the dead. Breathe upon them, breathe upon their dry bones, that breath of life. Maybe their desire, prepare me, gracious God, may it be each one's desire. For, O Lord, we know not the length of our days, but teach us to number our days, we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. There is a time to be born and a time to die, and after death the judgment. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe and wash me in his blood, so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. O Lord, may we each be brought then as those that fill their need, those beggars poor. But in that day to be found as a son or daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Lord, remember the young. Lord, we see the young, the very young before us. Oh, we'll plead earnestly for them. And if it could please thee, work in their hearts whilst young in years, thy tender fear. May they prove the words, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Lord, enable them even in their young years to call upon thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Lord, do hedge them about. Keep them tender of heart and mind and conscience. And as they grow up and go on into life, Lord, all the temptations and the distractions and attractions, keep them close to thee. And in the hour of temptation, O Lord, do keep them. May they come to their time in their life when they can look back and say, kept by the power of God. When perhaps this season or that season, this time or that time, they look back and they can say, yes, in and of themselves they could not keep themselves. But in that hour and in that moment, thou didst hold them up. Thou didst give them that strength sufficient for that moment in that hour of temptation. Kept. Lord, do remember them, we plead. And all that they seek for, Lord, in having to cast all their cares upon thee. But to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness. And prove that all these other things shall be added unto you. Lord, do remember them. Do remember those are the parents, we plead for them. Parents and grandparents, Lord, do we not know what it is like? We have our children, our children's children. And they lay heavily upon our hearts, they, Lord. Oh, Lord, do remember then parents and grandparents, but, Lord, especially parents, as they seek to bring up their her children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Grant them wisdom, O Lord, we plead. Ah, may they prove that that thou art all wisdom. That in those difficult questions that shall arise, for we live in a day, do we not, where evil is called good and good is called evil. The law is slacked. Man does what pleases himself in his own eyes. Man doesn't want any restraint. Doesn't want thee to reign over him. And is it not manifest in our day? But Lord, as parents may face those difficult questions, we read, do we not, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally, and upbraideth not. So, Lord, remember them, we plead. Uphold them and keep them. Remember those in the midst of life that bear the heat and burden of the day, whether it is one in their studies, one in the workplace, in the business, in the busy housewife and mothers in the home, those in retirement, Lord, the busy scenes of life. We're each involved in them, are we not? And all the carking cares and the trials of the way. Lord, those times and seasons when thou dost cause a stormy wind, thou dost command it to arise. Lord, those busy scenes, those cares and the trials and the storms, Lord, may we prove that in all those things which thou hast caused to come and dost cause to come, that they're all appointed of thee. Nothing is out of place. Yes, in and of ourselves, they feel like crooks in the lot. These things, they aggravate our natural being. Carnal reasoning cannot understand it. But Lord, may we prove all those things that come into the pathway of life. They're ordered in all things and sure. They're all of thee. Thou hast appointed them to come. May it please thee, thou sanctify the path. May it please thee that all that these things might keep us in that right place, low at thy feet. May we prove there is that one to whom we can go, upon whom help is laid. For help is laid upon one that is mighty. May we each prove, O Lord, amidst the scenes of life, there's a friend that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity. So, Lord, do remember each one we plead. And it may be a dark path, may be very tried indeed. But I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And so, Lord, may it please thee, we might yet prove that the shepherd doth go before his sheep, and he leadeth them forth by the right way. They might go into that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. And yet, O Lord, perhaps the way does seem very tried. Perhaps there's a wondering where the scene will end. Wondering whether they will make shipwreck of faith. But, O Lord, have we not proved some of those wits' end corners? Have they not been in time those moments of great blessing when we prove the goodness of the Lord, when we proved even as the psalmist, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So, Lord, remember each and every one in the midst of life and all that concerns them. Ah, may it drive us often into the closet. May it be even as this brings us back to lean upon our beloved. The way, if the way is too smooth, do we not find we become lifted up with a sense of self? Begin to even rest upon the strength of our own arms, our own wisdom, our own abilities. But it's not to be so. We must be found amongst those leaning upon our beloved. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Enable us then to lean harder upon thee. Remember those in affliction. Oh, there are many afflicted ones throughout Zion. And perhaps there are some here, Lord, we know not of, but Lord, thou knowest where they are. And perhaps even laid aside, even in their own bed or upon a hospital bed, even this day. Sanctify the path, sweeten the pain. Oh, may it please thee, put forth thy healing hand and grant thy healing touch. We know some that have walked in affliction for many months, even years. Their cases baffle the wisest of men. Art thou not their great physician? When thou wast here upon the earth, what wonders thou didst work among the people. And as we are like, may it please, we may be like those that bore that one up, that carried him up even onto the rooftop and let him down to thy feet. May we bear one another up, all those afflicted ones, those that are walking in deep and dark paths, bear them up. Lay them at thy feet, and may we prove the word, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. And so enable us to bear one another, Lord, thou knowest it. Bear one another unto thee, that great physician. And if it could please, and if it is thy will, grant that perfect healing. And they may prove, like some of us have proved, through those deep afflictions, when thou hast laid thy hand upon our bodies, did we not prove, some of us? And this poor sinner proved it was that time of greatest blessing, when thou didst reveal thyself in love and mercy unto this poor sinner. Strange and mysterious are thy ways, and we have to prove as a hymn writer, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. May they also prove it, we plead. And Lord, remember any with a particular path they walk in. Perhaps they feel, well, I'm so alone in this path. No one else understands the path. I'm pressed beyond measure. They feel wearied of life. May they prove like this poor sinner just those 6-8 months ago now. Oh, when we felt, how can we go on anymore? Those words are the God of all comfort. And oh, as we arose and looked up those words, that verse, does it not read, if we can quote it in measure, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. And as we read that chapter that morning, we had to prove it so. We had to prove there's a fullness that resides in Jesus, our head, that ever abides to answer our need. So, Lord, remember such, we plead. Remember those that are away at this time, are taking rest and change. Lord, I remember them where they are. And any that are, perhaps will be here if they could. Ah, Lord, thou knowest each and every one. And those that have got those things before them, they look forward to. Ah, may they prove, yes, in due time, thou art able to supply all their needs. May they prove, yet in due time they can sing with the psalmist, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Do remember Zion, we plead, in this dark and evil day. Strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. Lord, thou knowest where thy dead elect are, around the little hills of Zion. Oh, Lord, if it could please thee, are those whom thou hast loved from all eternity, do yet put forth thy mighty hand and arrest them in their mad career. And bring them even into thy courts here in the little hills of Zion, whither, sir, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ or else I die. And so, Lord, do remember Zion, we plead. Strengthen those things which remain and those things which are ready to die. Lord, remember us also as a land and nation. We are guilty. Truly we are. We are guilty of the grossest, the vilest, the most greatest of abominations. We sin against light and knowledge. We've turned thee the back and not the face. Oh, have mercy upon us, Lord, we plead. Hear the cries of the remnant. We believe thou hast. And thou hast, thy hand is stretched out still. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy, thou hast granted a goodly harvest. We've seen it, have we not, as we've travelled about, in the bountiful crops of the earth, the fruit of the trees that have been gathered in, perhaps some still to be gathered in. And we will thank thee for it. Lord, do then hear our cries continually. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how we need a stirring up in this. Ah, Lord, we need to be stirred up. Zion needs to be stirred up. We need to be stirred up in our own hearts also. But Lord, as we look upon the sins of the nation, Lord, also in our own hearts, make us honest in thy sight. And make us, oh Lord, even to this, search me and try me. And see if there be any wicked way in my heart. And Lord, bring us that true confession, that godly sorrow for sin. And grant that grace to forsake those sins. Oh, how solemn if we should be, as it were, carrying some sin, rolling it under our tongue like some sweet morsel. Ah, Lord, make us honest. Make me right and keep me right. So, Lord, do help us now. Lord, we would not forget those that have the rule over us. We're exhorted to pray for them. Remember them, we plead. Break their hard hearts. Show them what they ought to do. Lord, we plead also for the Queen and the royal family. Lord, remember them. And may it please you, work mighty in their hearts, that good thing. That which is more than notion, something known and felt. But Lord, help us now. And this poor, trembling one, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest how we feel that emptiness. And also, Lord, we confess, we feel our unworthiness. Who am I that I should stand up and preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? I'm less than the least of all saints. But oh, may it please thee, grant that help, that bounty of thy grace. Lord, we fall now into thy hands. To whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And so, Lord, do bless us each together. Bless thy word amongst us. And send none empty away. Pardon and forgive then our many, many sins. Our constant failings are often shortcomings. We plead all these things, pleading for Christ's sake. And his sake alone, amen.
Hymn number 545. Truly that poor soul is just, who by faith in Christ can trust, in him live, upon him rest, as the Lord his righteousness. Hymn 545.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the chapter we read, Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and verse 3. Luke chapter 19, verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Luke chapter 19, verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Upon my mind, on and off through the week, has been that last part of that verse, because he was little of stature. Now, this one, yes, perhaps naturally he was that one not favoured with a great height. But as it seemed to rest upon my spirit concerning that one wrought upon spiritually, as it was also Zacchaeus, yes, he was one loved from all eternity, one brought to see that he was a sinner indeed, a sinner in need. And it so laid upon my mind, yes, no doubt, not just a smaller stature in his bodily build, but also brought to that place, yes, he was chief among the publicans and was rich, but brought as that one, a worm Jacob, a beggar poor at mercy's door. Can it be said of you and I, as we come up to the house of God, has there ever been that time we can look back to when truly it was said of us, and we could say of ourselves, we desired to see Jesus? We've been brought up under the sound of the gospel, brought to the house of God all the days of our life. I have, from a very baby in arms, never, I believe, unless through illness or otherwise, but was not ever found elsewhere on a Sabbath day, if well, in the house of God, but in the house of God. But we can't rest upon that. We can't rest upon our upbringing, however sound it may be. But it is that desire and that longing to know Christ and Christ crucified. But a poor sinner, one yet dead, never has that desire until he's brought to feel his need. Brought to feel his need. And the first hymn we had, was it not, in there the language of one that knows that need, brought to feel that need. And I felt a little encouragement, that as we had that hymn, and it begins, does it not, oh, poor, distressed, thirsty soul, the fountain is just by, whose waters run both full and free, come, drink, and never die. But that one thirsty, hungering and thirsting after Christ and his righteousness, brought us that one to that knowledge, that they are the worst of sinners. As we said, Zacchaeus here, he was chief among the publicans. Chief among the publicans, well, they were despised, were they not? They were despised,
We read that one, I believe it's in the previous chapter, the one we read. Yes, a publican. Not thought of much, and especially by the Pharisees. And we read, do we not, in that previous chapter, that there are there was a two men that went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee, he stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men, other men are, extortioners, just, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Well, Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans, and no doubt more despised than ever, even amongst other men, especially amongst the self-righteous Pharisees. And as we read there that concerning Zacchaeus, but also, as I said, in that previous chapter, we read of those two then. They both went up to the temple to pray. And as that one, he pleaded thus, he had no need. His prayer, no doubt, strengthened his old proud nature. He stood taller, if we can put it in that way. His stature rose as he pleaded thus, no doubt longing for other people to hear. Especially as he said, even as this publican. Even as this publican. And oh, have not some of us been even like that in our younger years when, yes, we were in the house of God and perhaps we looked upon those outside and come not nigh me, for I'm holier than thou. But what a mercy if we're not left there. This one, Zacchaeus, the Lord, there was that purpose towards him, that purpose of grace. He was the son of Abraham. One named in the Lamb's Book of Life. One loved from all eternity. One upon whom there was that set time. There was that set time that there should be that wrought in his heart. I believe that that wrought in him that good thing, the work had been begun. That work had been begun. I believe that his hard heart had been taken out from him and he'd been given a heart of flesh. As we read further down, yes, it was that tender heart, no more hard heart. A tender heart, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. If we read, do we not, when the Lord called him down from that tree, but when he said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Perhaps knowing that there was much that he had obtained, even in his profession, as it were, as a publican, that there was that taken falsely, wrongly, extortion perhaps out of one and another. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, there he sought to restore unto them fourfold that tender heart, that which was manifest, that the Lord had begun that good work in him. So going back to those two then in that place, that marketplace, in the temple, was it not? In the temple. There they pleaded. One was pleading and the other. But the other, That one, he couldn't lift himself up. He's bowed down with his sense of sin. So he said, that one, that Pharisee, he was lifted up with a sense of pride and self. He, as it were, is puffed up. Stood tall in his own estimation. But there, this publican, standing afar off, does that describe your case, poor sinner? You look at others, perhaps you feel, woe, I'm but a sinner, the worst of sinners, black indeed. You look at others, perhaps you see that work of grace in them. And you feel, well, I can't come and stand with them. I feel so distant from them. But you long for that. You long to be brought into that place where you can say, my sins have been forgiven. You long for that sweet assurance of faith that the Lord has done that for you, that you cannot do of yourself. But now at the moment it's like this one, can't lift yourself up. Would not lift himself up. He would not lift himself. He thought nothing of himself. Zacchaeus, I believe, he is brought to that place. He thought nothing of himself. And yet there was that desire, that longing, a longing to see Jesus. He'd heard of him. He'd heard, and there was that in his, wrought in his soul, that living desire to know my Jesus crucified. Yes, at one time he sought things here below, seeking to make himself for himself a name in the earth. But now he saw there was no continuing city here. But he sought that which was to come. He saw that everything here below was perishing and dying. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. Would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Is that your plea? Has it been my plea? It has been. It is still so now. Yes. That constant warfare. There's often that feeling, can any good thing dwell within? Long for the Lord to speak again and again, but all we're speaking at the moment concerning that one wrought upon by the Spirit, quickened into that newness of life. My mind went back to a word that was upon my mind. I'm not sure when it was now, but it came to my mind again in Ezekiel. Do we not read of it there? In Ezekiel chapter 16, you're brought to that place where you can come even with the words there. None I pitied thee to do any of these. We'll read the first four. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee. You now feel that filthiness in which you are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and who can know it? None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person. Have you been brought to loathe your person? That's one that cannot lift his head up, bowed down with that sense of sin, with this burden. You've come into the house of God this day with this burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. Yes, perhaps you had a whited sepulchre before, but now the Blessed Spirit has shone into your heart and shown you every lurking evil there. All those black, filthy corners, and all that mire that is there by your very birth, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. By nature, we're dead to these things. By nature, there's no loathing. Yes, we may know a measure of right and what is wrong. It's a mercy if we do. But on the grace, when the Spirit takes up that abode in your heart and mine, there'll be that loathing of thy person. You'll acknowledge you're nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Abroad, you'll be brought under the condemnation of the law. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And you won't have just one sin that testifies against you as a multitude. The loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Well, I believe Zacchaeus had been brought to know that in himself. Like that one then, that couldn't lift his eyes up, even unto heaven, but they're groaning, being burdened. That poor sinner, when he groans, being burdened, he won't have any claim. He won't say, "Well, I have a right to be pardoned." But no, cannot lift so much as his eyes up, even unto heaven. But that groaning comes forth from the burdened heart, the burdened soul. And what a mercy it is, if that you and I have known those groans being burdened on account of our sins, our true wretchedness, our poverty, all that we feel within, that filth, which is by our very birth. And we need that washing, to be washed in the Redeemer's blood, to be washed, in that fountain home for all sin and uncleanness, to be washed in that fountain that, the dying thief rejoiced to see. The hymn writer put it, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. It's a mercy, that fountain, it ever flows and ever will flow until there's no more need of a poor sinner here below. But there are, we often quote that hymn, the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And so it is that one, they think nothing themselves. They do not demand and feel they have a right to the mercy of the Lord. But they tremble under the law. They groan under that burden. Like as we read then, in that chapter 16 in Ezekiel, you turn to it at your leisure. But what a mercy it should be this, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Well, as you read further on down, poor, trembling, hell-deserving sinner, you read down that chapter. There was that time when that one, we read, then washed I thee with water. Yea, I freely washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. Ah, that all of his grace, of his mercy, ah, salvation made known unto you. Salvation made known unto you. I know when the Lord so burdened me, I was not satisfied anymore with just dead rounds of religion. There was that wrought in me, I longed for divine realities. I longed for that, for the Lord to speak in the own soul. And perhaps as it comes to mind, I know I may have quoted it before here, but I quote it again, for that's how it was with this poor sinner. Well, what we read at the, I believe it's the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. That longing there, that was what I longed for. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. It's personal, is it not? A personal religion, real religion, that which is more than notion, something that must be known and felt. Ah, do you know then of that smiting upon your breast? I believe this is that work of grace begun, and you've been brought to tremble under the law. There'll be this wrought in you also, a crying unto God for mercy. A crying unto God for mercy. That word comes to my mind also, we read in the 57th chapter of Isaiah. Ah, it's a comfort, is it not? May it comfort some poor sinner. Ah, that one that cannot lift himself up. He feels he has no right to anything. But smites upon his breast. Groans under that burden. What a mercy we read there. In the 57th chapter of Isaiah, for thus saith the high and lofty one, yes, you realize and feel your wretchedness, and God is most holy. God is most holy. And you realize and are brought to feel that, this holy heart-searching God cannot look upon sin. And all that testifies you, that which you were born in, and all that filthiness, you'll be brought then as that one humbled at his feet. As we said, not demanding anything, but you venture there. That living faith, that little grain of faith implanted in your soul, we're bringing that one as that beggar poor. Bring you that one, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. But that humble place. But we read, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place. But it doesn't just stop there, but with him also. Blessed be his holy name. Beggars poor, broken-hearted sinners, weeping sinners, groaning sinners, hell-deserving sinners, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. Broken hearts and contrite spirits he will not despise. He despised the prayer of that Pharisee. I believe such a prayer is a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God. But that one that could only speak just a few words like that, God be merciful to me, a sinner. They entered into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. They were as a sweet-smelling savour that arose from some poor wretched sinner, some hell-deserving sinner, that one that felt, truly, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Perhaps as a publican, a Pharisee may look on and say, but nothing sweet or savoury can ever come from such a one. Such are his foulness and all his sins and his wretchedness. But to a poor sinner, that one broken heart and a contrite spirit, that petition, it enters into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. The voice of thy cry, he will answer thee. And you may say, well, but I seem to cry and shout, but he shutteth out my voice. I've cried many, many months, perhaps even years. But you'll know those times of reviving. He'll revive your spirit, as that verse in the 57th chapter of Isaiah. That one humble, a contrite spirit, you'll revive and keep your soul alive, but there that time will come. It doesn't say how long that Zacchaeus had walked in that path, but it's a mercy we read. He was not left in that path. The Spirit had begun that good work in his heart. And he who hath begun that good work, he shall carry it on, and he will bring it to that time. Yes, you may have to wait long. The Lord is sovereign in his dealings. I know often quote concerning, it felt so when I was longing for the Lord to appear for me. And it was a comfort to me when I read concerning that one at Bethesda's pool, 38 years. 38 years. But the Lord didn't forsake him. 38 years, perhaps you've seen many others receive the blessing. You've seen many others, and still you wait. But you are so poor and wretched, so afflicted, as it were, because of your sins. Like that one there, he couldn't lift himself up. No man to put him in. Small of stature. No strength of their own. Came to seek and to save such. They are brought to that place. Nothing in my hands to bring. But simply to thy cross to cling, naked come to thee for dress. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, ere I die. And that language of the hymn writer there, that stirs it up even more, does it not, when you realise your days fast hasten on. Like that one, 38 years, perhaps he felt, well, my life fast hastens on. Hath the Lord forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? But no, as that one there, 38 years, that time appointed came. That time appointed came. The Lord drew near and granted him that perfect healing. And like it was then with this man, chief among the publicans and sinners, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Desiring Christ. And you come up like those Greeks of old. Yes, at one time you came up to the courts of the Lord, and yes, you were quite just satisfied with those dead rounds of empty service, and you went in and went out and you were satisfied. But now, it's a sir we would see Jesus. sir, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ or else I die. Ah, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And perhaps you, even as a hymn writer put it, a crowd about him will be found attending day and night. A crowd. Ah, all those crowds. And you feel, well, I have such little faith. By faith at times it feels like it's ready to perish. It seems all dried up, but that little grain of faith, compels you, does it not? Does not that little grain of faith compel thee? I will not let thee go, lest thou bless me. There's that urgency. Ah, what a mercy, that grain of faith. The time is near. Oh, that grain of faith. Has it been so with you then, poor sinner? Many times, the old adversary says, no more call upon his name. But you ventured once again, you sought to see Jesus, who he was. Yes, many crowds about him, the old adversary at your right hand to resist you. But that little grain of faith has brought you into the courts of the Lord. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. That has been your cry upon the bed in the night season. The old adversary on the one hand, give up. No more call upon his name. But that little grain of faith working in your heart, that true living desire, breathing upon you, blessed be his holy name. And you've come even to the courts of the Lord even this day, sought to see Jesus. When thou wast in thy blood. Go back to that chapter 16. As I said, you read it at your leisure. That verse 8 in that chapter 16. Now when I passed by thee, was it not so with that one at Bethesda's pool? Was it not so with Zacchaeus? When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. I swear, yea, blessed be his holy name, these yeas, these amens in Christ Jesus, yea, I swear unto thee. And entered into a covenant with thee, as saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Thou becamest mine. Zacchaeus that day, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. Well, he must have made inquiries, must have been that earnest desire, that living exercise. Has it been so with you? Though small of stature, that which keeps you bowed down, keeps you in that lowly place, that worm Jacob. Fear not thou, worm Jacob. Fear not thou, worm Jacob, that time of love will come. It came with Zacchaeus. He is not disappointed. The Lord knew where he was, for it was divinely appointed, that place. And sometimes we can look back to those times of where the Lord, it was divinely appointed, the Lord met us. The Lord made himself known to us. It was that time, passed by thee, looked upon thee, that time of love. And so it was with Zacchaeus. The Lord knew he was there. The Lord knew his desire. And it was that time appointed. when he will favour Zion. He favoured Zion that day. What did he say unto Zacchaeus? When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Ah, you long to make, the Lord to draw near and draw him, turn him with you and comfort your soul. Like it was with those two upon the Emmaus road. Ah, has there been a burning of your heart within you? Ah, and like those two there, they constrained him. He was constrained of them, he turned in a boat with them. Ah, and when he broke bread and blessed it, their eyes were opened. Oh, what joy it was to them. Christ revealed, a risen Christ. And so it will be like it is here with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste. Ah, he made haste. Ah, may it please the Lord then to so favour some poor sinner. Ah, made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. Yes, the Pharisees, they murmured, but what a mercy it is, he eats with publicans and sinners even in our day. Not ashamed to call them brethren. Ah, what a mercy it is, so even this day, and it was with Zacchaeus. There it confounded it, it astonished the self-righteous Pharisee. But what a mercy it is. Oh, what a mercy it should be this day that it truly might be said, that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Came to seek and to save that which is lost. Not to save the righteous. That self-righteous Pharisee, he had no need of Christ. But all that one, what a need he had. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And what did the Lord say unto him when he, Zacchaeus, really, we've quoted it before, I know, but oh, there was this wrought in him, that tender heart, that contrite spirit. He acknowledged he'd done that which was wrong. He'd extorted money out of those that he shouldn't have done, and more so than it was justly obtainable, is it, where he obtained more than he should have done. Behold, Lord, and you brought to that place, you confess your sins. You confess you are but a worthless worm, a wretched worm, a hell-deserving worm. But that had been wrought in your heart, that tender fear of the Lord. Like it was with this one, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. But it's this verse, we'll have to close. The time has gone. But this verse, as we read it, and Jesus said unto him, this day, this day, is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. All this day. May the Lord be pleased to bless some poor sinner. This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Burgess will address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening. And Mr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. God willing, there'll be a church meeting on Monday, the 31st of October. And a reminder that the collections today are for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association, for the school at Fizzy in Congo, and more details are on the notice board. Let us close with hymn 527. What a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare. The soul that knows it lives. Hymn 527.
Oh,
pleased to bless that which is of thee, and cover with a mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. Do be pleased to come up with us again in the evening hour. O Lord, grant our earnest prayer in the interval. Perhaps as one have to go and enter into the closet and shut the door about them and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, what a mercy if it should be so. But oh, grant now oneself also that help in the afternoon as we would try to speak to the children. We look to thee for that help. But remember us each, we plead. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each. Amen.